We come today to the end of the Bread of Life discourse in the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, which has been proclaimed here on Sunday for the last few weeks. We saw last week how the crowd, the Jews, quarreled among themselves about what exactly our Lord meant. And that became an occasion for him not to backtrack on what he was saying, but in fact to speak even more clearly and forcefully about the fact that he was going to give them his flesh and blood as food and drink, that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. And today we come then to a decisive moment in which the crowds have to choose whether they will continue to follow Christ or leave. And we're told by the evangelist, as a result of this, many of his disciples returned to their former way of life and no longer accompanied him. Notice, these are not scribes and Pharisees. These are not opponents of Christ. These are his disciples, his followers, some of whom, many of whom, we're told, choose to leave. And what seems to me very significant is that our Lord lets them go. He doesn't call them back and explain to them that he was only speaking metaphorically and that they shouldn't get too worried and shouldn't leave, but instead he lets them go. In other words, this truth that he's teaching about the Eucharist, he cannot change. He means what he says. And he's willing even to let disciples of his leave if they cannot accept that truth. And then even more, so serious was our Lord about the truth of the Eucharist that he was ready to let even the apostles leave. Those closest of his followers, the men that he had called and intended to be the ones who would continue his mission and build the church after his ascension into heaven, he turns to them today. And he asks them directly, "Do you also want to leave?" And it becomes the occasion for St. Peter to make that beautiful expression, profession of faith. He asks, "Master, to whom shall we go?" We may not fully understand every word you're speaking to us now. It may be difficult, but you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Holy One of God. St. Peter speaking on behalf of the 12, asserting their faith in Christ and their intention to continue to follow him. A heroic, beautiful witness St. Peter is in the gospel. Now it seems to me that this decisive moment for the disciples of our Lord in the gospel today is very appropriate for us in light of current events in the life of the church. Sadly, disturbingly, again, the reality and scandal of sexual immorality among the clergy is before our eyes. And perhaps the temptation is to say, "Enough, I'm out. This is not the church that I want." And perhaps on the one hand, who could blame people for leaving the church in light of these realities? But before we walk down that path, before we allow ourselves to respond to Christ when he asks, "Do you also want to leave?" and we say, "Yes, I'm out," we should think twice and recall what we would be leaving. For our church, as St. Paul taught us in the gospel today, is the bride of Christ. Christ and his church are one. And to leave his church, to turn our backs on his church, is to leave Christ, to leave the bridegroom. Christ abides with us in the church in that most precious gift of the Eucharist. Always here in the tabernacle of our church, in the Adoration Chapel, offering himself day after day here in the Holy Mass. Christ gave us the Eucharist, he gave us the church. And all through the centuries, the church has given us such great treasures, the seven sacraments, that sustain our life of faith, that give us the grace of God in those key moments of our lives. The church has given us sacred scripture, the inspired word of God, the Bible compiled and promulgated by the church. She's given us great heroes of the faith, the saints, those holy men and women who are examples for us and intercessors before God's throne in heaven. Not to mention all the scientific advances, the progress of education, and the incredible care for the poor and the needy that the church has embraced all through the centuries. To leave would be leaving all of this. Why should we leave something so good? And in reality, when you think of it, is it not those who are at fault in all of this who have turned their backs on the church? Why would it make sense for us to do the same? So the question, perhaps natural for us to ask, though, is what are we to do in the face of all of this? My first year in the seminary, I entered in 2001, and so the crisis of 2002 broke out during my first year in the seminary, and it was a very discouraging time to be in the seminary, and even more so for me personally, because two priests from my own parish were removed from ministry in the wake of the scandals. And I remember to this day, one of my brother seminarians was interviewed by one of the news outlets here in St. Louis. And they asked him if the crisis made him second guess his decision to become a priest. And I'll never forget the way he responded to that question. He said, "No, in fact, it makes me want to be a better priest." That, my friends, is what we are to do. We are to love Christ and his church with even greater zeal. We're to have an even more determined resolve to grow in holiness so that through us the church can be purified and renewed. The renewal of the church, even at her highest levels, is possible through the influence of ordinary Catholics who refuse to be lukewarm, but who live our faith to the full with great abandon and great love. In the gospel today, when our Lord heard his disciples murmuring, he asked them, "Does this shock you?" And in fact, it did. It shocked them that he would give them his flesh as food and his blood as drink. And you know, it should shock us too. In a moment, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, consubstantial with the Father, the eternal Son of God, he will make himself present on this altar. That is shocking. But we become so familiar. He comes in such an ordinary way that we lose that sense of awe and wonder. So today, let us in this Holy Mass adore him with all the love of our hearts. And as he comes among us, his bride, the church, let us ask him to purify and renew our beloved church, the one for whom he laid down his life. Let's ask him to make of us saints, men and women who are zealous instruments for the spread of the joy of life in Christ. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.